This is the Cross Point Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
Dear Lord, just thank you so much for allowing us to come and worship you like this morning. And we just want to throw out all our praises to you and praising your name. And we just ask that you be with us during the service this morning. And give us all the wisdom of the Lord so that we can see things and see our world. And we can see that there really is nothing to worry about in this world. This world is just temporary. And you hold all the answers for us, Lord. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Did you lose a string?
Yeah.
I love it when he plays so hard that he loses a string.
I did that on purpose.
Did you?
No. He didn't lose it.
So last week, we reaffirmed David Wahlstedt as the pastor of Cross Point. Yeah. And he was so honored by that he promptly left town. That's why I'm here. No, he's actually on study leave with his mentor, Len Sweet, and he'd been planning that for a while. But all week long, I've been thinking about something that he said as he laid out his vision for what we can expect as we move into the new year. He said this: we have a big vision for this community. And it got me thinking, what does that mean? What do we need to do to achieve this big vision? And probably more importantly, why is having a vision important? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:18, and I'm going to go old King James version for you guys. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And of course, it wouldn't be me talking if I didn't throw in a little message paraphrase for you. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I believe that God has given Pastor David a big vision for this community and for what Cross Point is meant to do in this community. I believe that part of our role as the people of Cross Point is to see what God is doing so we don't stumble all over ourselves, so we don't perish as a faith community, to be looking for those opportunities that God is placing in front of us. And I don't know about you, but I get excited about big visions. I get excited especially when you can call them God-sized visions. But there's a problem with God-sized visions. They're scary. They take us out of our comfort zone. They push us further than we ever thought we could go. I was talking to somebody recently about a vision that Kylie and I have, a plan, a goal, a dream. And we were concerned because we kept saying, well, this is going to cost a lot of sacrifice, and it's going to take a lot of time to reach that goal. And they said, you know, if there's nothing sacrificed in a vision, if there's no pain in that vision, God's probably not in it. God's visions are so much bigger than ours. Pastor Dave likes to say, if you can put your arms around a vision, if you can control it, God's probably not in it. So there's a lot of risk in a God-sized vision. But with great risk can come great reward. If you continue reading the message paraphrase, when it says, when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When we can follow those God-sized visions and do what he's asking us to do, we're blessed. In fact, the whole reason that Kylie and I are here, the whole reason that I'm even sitting in front of you today, is because we were willing to follow a God-sized vision. Some of you have heard our story before, but I'm going to repeat it for those of you who haven't or may not realize where I'm coming from on this. Kylie and I were working with a show out in Virginia, a magic show, traveling around the country. And we received this, I distinctly remember this call from God to take everything we'd learned about performing high-quality shows, and previously I'd worked in a show that traveled and worked in churches, take this high-quality show thing, put it in a church, see what can happen from it. Now, the thing is, there's a lot of people in my industry who do that sort of thing. There's a lot of guys who are going around doing shows like that. The difference is, most of those guys do a very strong evangelistic presentation in their show. Most of them present the gospel in their show, which is something that I don't think God was asking us to do when he gave us this vision. And the thing is, that's a really tough sell when you're going to a church and you say, hey, we want to come do a show for you. Oh, great, it'll be awesome. We'll have people from the community come in and you can preach the gospel to them. Yeah, I'm not going to do that part. It's a tough sell. But bless you. But I believe that that's what God asked us to do. And if that thing was going to be successful, he was going to have to make it so. So we moved out here with no prospects. We had one show planned, and that was it. But we knew that this was what God wanted us to do. We knew he wanted us to come out here. So we moved out here from Virginia. One of our first priorities was to find a church that we could connect into, that we could really become a part of. We came across Crosspoint's website, and you guys had just finished doing a series based on a book that had been very instrumental in our journey and in encouraging us to come out and follow this God vision. And so we thought that might be a good sign. Let's go check out this church that's doing something that seems kind of right in line with where we are. So we came to our first gathering, and this was back when we were at Trinity Mills. You guys remember that space, right? Some of you do. And we walked in. The first person I met was Bill Bolin. No, it's... I'm sorry, he says. Are you sorry for me or for you? A little bit of both. All right. But he was so welcome. He came up to us. He says, well, I guess I'm the welcoming committee this morning. Welcome. And he introduced us to Courtney, who wasn't Shadle at the time. But he introduced us to Courtney, and we moved on from there and met a ton of people. And it was one of those things that we walked in, and it felt like home. Have you ever had that feeling where you just walk in, and you knew this is where God wanted you to be? And it was interesting because Pastor Dave was out of town on that day, too. But the environment in this community was so engaging and so compelling that we just couldn't resist it. And we knew there was something special here. And so the next week we had talked about, okay, this week we're going to go look at some other churches. We're going to do some church hunting. But throughout the week we just kept saying, boy, you know, that Crosspoint place was really great. And so when it came around to Sunday, we're like, let's just go back there. And it's been that way ever since. And we thought all that even before I'd heard Pastor Dave speak. And so when he finally returned and he started into his messages, we ate up everything that he was teaching us. I mean, you guys know, right? I mean, Pastor Dave is a phenomenal speaker. His teachings, I mean, hear it all the time. Phil, you're shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He challenges you. He stretches you. He makes you think in ways that you'd never thought before. And it just drew us deeper and deeper into what was happening with this community. Well, we had no jobs. We had been able to scrounge together a couple of gigs here and there. I got to work out at Six Flags over the summer, and that was fun and hot and sweaty. But by September, that job was over, and we had nothing on the horizon. And I remember God telling me when he gave me this vision of what we were supposed to do, that to just pursue that vision. And so in my mind, that meant don't take a job that's other than what I've called you to do. And so, like, for example, my brother worked at Studio Movie Grill, and he's like, hey, you don't have a job. Come work here. And I went to training at Studio Movie Grill, and nothing against Studio Movie Grill. It's a great place to go and hang out. I hated that job. It's the only job I have ever quit. And I just couldn't stand it. It's not where I was supposed to be. So anyway, September comes around, and I'm asking the men's group to pray for us because we don't have any jobs. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what to expect. Pastor Dave comes up to us afterwards, and he says, or comes up to me afterwards, and he says, are you and Kylie available for coffee tomorrow? Sure. You know, pastor asked you for coffee. Why not? So the next day we went to go meet him, and we sat down in this coffee shop in Austin Ranch, which is sadly not there anymore. But he said, look, I've had this happen before where God laid it on my heart to say something to somebody, and I didn't do it. And I've always regretted not doing that. So here's the deal. You can say no to this, is what he said to us. He said, you can say no to this. This may not even be anything you're even thinking about. But God's asked me to do this, so I'm following what he says. Would you like a job on staff at Crosspoint? This was never in my plans. I didn't grow up, although if you saw the picture of me on Facebook this week, my mom put up, which has me holding the Bible up in the air. I don't even know where she found that picture, but the whole idea of being that involved in a church was not on our radar. And so we prayed about it and asked some friends and finally came around, okay, well, God's put this in front of us. Let's see where it goes. And so we took the job. And in November of that year, I was at a family reunion. I have a pastor who's a Presbyterian minister. I'm sure I've told this part before. What's that? An uncle who's a Presbyterian minister. Thank you. Well, he's a pastor, too. I have an uncle who's a Presbyterian minister. And he came up to me and said, you know, I've been thinking this for a while, but I've never said anything to you. But now that you've got this position at this church, I think it's important that I tell you, I've always felt you were meant to be in full-time ministry. Okay. And he goes on further. He says, and I believe this so much so that if you think that you need to do any sort of training or go to school for it, my wife and I want to help you pay for it. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. And it took me aback. You know, I didn't know what to think, but that's okay, thanks. That's nice. I appreciate that. I'll put that in the back of my mind. Over the next few months, I had several things that happened that were almost the exact same thing. Kylie's parents, we went to go visit them in Australia. And independently, they each came up to me and they said, you know, I haven't talked to my spouse about this, but I think you're supposed to be in full-time ministry and I think we're supposed to help you pay for that. And so then the other one would come in and say the same thing. And it was like, okay, what's God trying to say to me here? I know, right? I'm a little dense. Ask Kylie. It takes me a little while sometimes. But this was never in my plans. This was not what I thought I was supposed to be doing. But I said, okay, let's see where this goes. And so throughout the years, I've taken on some training. I went to school and this, that, and the other thing. And every time I've done it, it's always been with the purpose of, I want to be better equipped to serve here. Everybody asks me, so what are you going to do if you go and get your MDiv? You know, what kind of church do you want to serve at? I want to serve here. This is my home. Crosspoint is where I belong. And so everything that I do is all about being better equipped, being better trained to serve here, to serve you. Even the CARES thing that Kylie and I do, the reason we took on this CARES thing was because Crosspoint believes in apartment life as a missional partnership. And we had no CARES teams in our midst. And so Kylie and I said, well, we can do that. And so that's how we got into the CARES thing. That's how that's all this is from following that God vision of just coming out and doing what he asks. Based on my experience of seeing God move in my life, I would say that there's a greater risk to not following those visions and not pursuing those opportunities that he places in your life. So here's the deal. Courtney, do you have the... Okay, cool. Kylie's got a microphone. Pastor Dave said last week that there is a big vision for this church, that God wants to do big things through us as a people. So I have a question for you, and I really want you to think about this, and I want some people to answer, so that's why I've got the microphone. Do you believe that God can or even wants to do big things through this body of believers? And if so, what does that look like for you? Do you believe that God can or even wants to do big things through this body of believers? And what does that look like for you? Anybody?
You're ticking me off here. Kathy and I already had this conversation.
Yes.
Privately. Now you're making me talk.
Sorry.
Yes, this church can do something big in this community, but I'm not committed to it. I haven't been committed to it. I haven't done my part. We haven't done our part, and that's what we've talked about. And just before we left for our little trip, we said, connection isn't as much as it should be for us here. We're not, you know, let me talk for me. My connection here isn't as strong as I think it should be. My commitment here isn't as strong as it should be. So for me, it's me committing to really being part, signing up for helping with other the other events that are happening, being willing to step outside of my comfort zone. My comfort zone is very small. So most anything out here is just stepping outside my comfort zone. But I'm going to do it, and we're going to do it. So this is, you know, moving forward, you know, I plan on putting my name up on the thing, on the app online for signing up to help out and do things like that. I haven't done that. So, hey, ask me if you want me, but I haven't actually put my name up there. So this is all about me taking responsibility for me listening to God. And I can't take responsibility for anybody else. I can't make anybody else do it, but I can make me do it. And so I don't feel like I need to look outside any further. If I look here and make me do it, God worked with that.
Wow. Yeah. Honesty, I love it. Mike?
It's funny, Paulo and I had the exact same conversation this week. I think it's real easy. Yes, I believe that God has plans and can use any group of believers that have a sincere heart for Him. And I think it's real easy for us to fall into the quantitative mode of thinking if there's not 5,000 people sitting in the chairs that a church is not where it needs to be. And I feel like that God can use any group of believers. And this church, obviously, this group of believers and the pastor, God is using this church to minister to 50, 60 people every weekend, at least through this gathering. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. There's something here that keeps pulling us here, those of us that come on a regular basis. And so Courtney and I were just having a casual conversation this morning. I think a lot of it has to do with relationships and how much we put ourselves into forming those relationships. Because relationships is what drives a person to go anywhere, to be anywhere with anybody, even if it's just in the comfort of our living room with our spouse. It's that relationship that that drives us to be there. And I don't know if I was asking Paula, maybe I'm not doing enough. Am I doing enough to try to form those deeper relationships with the people here in this body of believers? And then on the other hand, is the body making it easy enough for those to, like John, who's not always comfortable stepping out of that comfort zone? You know, and that's probably a lot of us too, me included. You know, are we making it easy enough to help those step out of that comfort zone and form relationships? There has to be, I think relationships is a real key.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, let's be honest, we're small enough that we can have those relationships. Sometimes it is just stepping out of that comfort zone and talking to that person that you haven't spoken to. I'll be honest, every person I've had the chance to interact with here, this is going to sound silly and corny, but I love every one of you. I really do. And every one of you I've had a chance to talk to, it's always been amazing. You've always been a blessing to my life. Bruce?
Sorry, I get to talk again. I agree with you, David. The relationships that I find here are very special. And I would love to see us be able to share those kinds of special relationships with people outside the four walls that we have here. And so the things that we do with Collide, the things where we reach into the community, I think that gives us a lot of opportunity. But I think in terms of the future, I think we have to keep doing that, because what we find, because we're in a rural or urban setting, it's hard for people whose jobs will tear them to other parts of the country. But I think we have to keep reaching out to people. That's what I see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we, anybody else? Nope. Brenda.
Thank you. I think another component of the vision is not just maybe signing up to help, make coffee, be a greeter, you know, agree to be part of the setup or tear down for events and so on and so forth, that a lot of that intimidates us and think, oh, I've got to sign up for a job. I have to do something, and it's going to be a commitment if I agree to be the ticket taker at all the events or whatever item you decide. I think a component that's also part of the vision that we forget is attendance, showing up, filling all the seats at the concerts, filling all the seats on a Thursday night, filling on the seats on a Sunday. I think there's a part of that where maybe you're not being called to do a job you have to sign up for, that maybe what you're being called to do is to show up and support it with your attendance.
Absolutely. You know, it's when Dave and I were kind of talking through this, and I'll be honest, up until this morning, I wasn't really sure where this was going to go, but Dave and I have kind of chatted about some of these ideas. And one of the things I kind of mentioned to him, we talked about the church kind of as a train. Like, Kylie and I just got back from Uganda, and we had this great little opportunity to travel from Brussels to Paris. As a part of that, I know it's rough life. But when we got on the train, I never once doubted that it was going to get where it was supposed to go. You know, I never once doubted that the people who were okay. Do you want to talk? Okay, thanks. I never once doubted that you know, the people who were supposed to serve food or the people who were supposed to take the tickets were going to be exactly where they were supposed to be and do exactly what they were supposed to do. But the fact of the matter is, if those people hadn't shown up to do those things, we wouldn't have gotten where we're supposed to go, you know? And so the reason I kind of think it is the train as a metaphor is, you know, we need people. We need we need conductors. We need people who are leading this train, taking it where it's supposed to go. We need people who are taking tickets. We need people even paying for the seats that they're coming to sit in so the train has money to keep going forward. That was subtle. Sorry, I didn't really mean it the way it came out. But we need all those people. You're exactly right. And there's plenty of opportunities. And yeah, I'm sorry if it's intimidated some of you, some of the things we've asked. We're going to try to get better at that. Chris.
For me, also the space itself is a ministry. You know, you were here last Friday. We had 90 hackers here. People, 75% of which would never step foot inside of a church. They come here. They know that this is Crosspoint. They know that we're a church. We don't hide it. When my co-organizer and I talk about it, we say, yeah, it's a church. Crosspoint is opening up the doors to them, and they're saying, okay, this is a bunch of people that aren't judging me. They're not sitting here saying, oh, I'm a horrible person because I have tattoos or I have piercings or I drink. It's people that are just, they're letting us come in here, use the space, and share it with them. Every Thursday night, the Thursdays that we don't have the well, that's because of me. That's because I've got a group of people, 30 people that come in, and again, people that probably would never go into a church, they're coming in, they see that we're opening up the doors to them and letting them come in, letting them hang out and talk about security stuff. And so, you know, our group, the hacker community, the religious versus anti-religious, it's a very big discrepancy. So for them to see that we're willing to do that is a huge impact on them. And I've had people ask me about the church, and I mean, they're not coming, and that's fine, but they're seeing that there are Christians out there that aren't going to judge you, and you don't have to be scared of us.
Yeah. And they were a fun bunch of guys, too. We had a blast. There's somebody else. Oh, see a hand going up over there? Uh-oh.
I know.
It's trouble, guys.
Scary. Brace yourselves. Kind of going off of, you know, what Brenda and Chris were saying, you know, I mean, I think I've gone to almost every concert that we've done here, you know, because I'll do security. And believe it or not, people do talk to the security guy sometimes. But I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who have just, you know, praised the space, says it looks awesome. And then, yeah, we get to the conversation. Well, we meet here on Sunday morning for Crosspoint, which is a church. And you can tell some of the people, they had no idea. And they're like, wow, you guys are a church and you're throwing on concerts, you know, and things like that. And I'll see people walking by from the liquor store and they'll ask what's going on and things like that. And I've heard stories from David and Kylie about the same type of experiences. So even if you don't come up and sign up for something, like what Brenda Siff was saying, even just showing up and then maybe talking to someone who's sitting a couple chairs down. Hey, what'd you think of the show? Hey, cool. Just something that you're into. I know we've got an Imaginary Inc. coming up, right? In a couple weeks?
This Saturday.
There you go. I mean, if that's something that you like, if you like, you know, artists, things like that, if you like art, come on up and then just talk to a few people who like art too. You know? And so it's easier when you're not thinking of it as a job and just, I'm just talking to a couple people.
Yeah, and two, I mean, before it gets too weird for me, I want to recognize that so many of you are doing so much around here. Believe me, we appreciate that. We cannot do this without you. I mean, John and Kathy, I think it's amazing that you guys spoke up about that because, you know, you do the RDFL, and that's phenomenal. You know, once a month, you give us free food. That's cool.
And Troop 166.
What's that? And Troop 166, yeah. Well, I don't know much about that because I don't get to be a part of that. I guess I don't get to do manis and petties this weekend. What's that? Oh. But I love it when you guys preach the message for me because I can cut out all this stuff. That's cool. So kind of going back to a little bit about what we can do around here. First of all, let me tell you this. Some of you may not know this, may not realize this. So Kylie and I, and it was mentioned last week in the congressional meeting, we are on staff here. We're part-time staff. We're both contracted for 15 hours a week. I think that's right. 15 hours a week is what our pay is for. Everything else we do because we love this space. And we actually have a much bigger vision with our show where that we could actually support ourselves completely by doing our show and continue to do everything we're doing for Crosspoint without taking a paycheck. That's our goal. Like, that's what we want to do because we love this place. We love each one of you, and we love what we're trying to do here. Pastor Dave mentioned to me this week he would love to be able to do, you know, to not have to take a paycheck from this place so we could continue doing more ministry, so we can continue doing the things that God wants to do. We believe in what's going on here. And maybe as a staff and as leadership, we haven't really been as effective as we could be in helping each one of you catch hold of the vision. I was here this week. We had two events this week. One was on Monday night, was the Christian Media Association. And then last night was Sherry Bronson, who's a Christian media TV show host. And I was fascinated because each one of these groups came in and each one of them had a big vision for what God was going to do in their lives. And each one of them was on fire about achieving that vision and what they could do to be a part of that vision. So how can we help you? How can we, what can we do? You know, you said some of it's intimidating. Some of it, sometimes you don't know. What can we do to help you, you know, catch on to that vision? Anybody got any ideas? Thoughts? Mimi?
And if we could get some more postcards, I mean, I passed out a bunch. I don't know how many people came as a result of it,
sure.
But they all said, oh, yeah, I've seen that. And so it was very helpful to me,
okay,
to kind of share our space with the little postcards with the events coming up. Or even something that had Crosspoint and our website and the address and maybe a map on it that we could pass out to neighbors and friends and, you know, maybe some of my coworkers too.
Sure.
Just a handy little, you know, even a business card.
We have a stack of business cards out there. Yeah. So
well,
some of you may not know that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we do have business cards out there. Feel free to take a stack and share them with people. Out there. Right as you come in the entrance, there's a little white table in the corner and they're on there. Anybody else? What was this? Oh.
I don't know how to really incorporate this, but I'm always in shows and I'm like, oh man, so-and-so would have just loved this, you know, because it's a great guitar player or something, something that would have been right up their alley. And I knew it was a band coming, you know, or I knew something about it, but if there was any way to promote it more or something, I guess, so it would give us the opportunity to say, I know somebody that would really like that, and I'm going to call them this week and see if they want to go. So I don't know if it's you know, me that needs to get more into, or if there's a email that could go out that better describes what kind of music it is, or maybe has a little video link to it, so we can see the style of the music that's going to play. That's my thoughts.
And I'll take responsibility on some of that. You may have noticed we don't talk a lot about the upcoming theater events in the gathering or in our Crosspoint email, which hopefully all of you are on, because we've noticed sometimes people don't want those two things together. And Dave and I were talking about this. We've really allowed ourselves to kind of fall into that trap of we're in the middle of the Bible Belt and we have to be like every other church around us. And the fact of the matter is we're not, right? We're not Prestonwood. We're not Bentry. They're doing great things. They're doing amazing things. We're Crosspoint. We do our different thing, right? We believe in this mission, this vision. We believe in helping real music at 166 or, you know, whatever other the events are. So I'm sorry for not being more forthcoming with some of the opportunities that are available. Yeah.
Utilizing, I know this is going to sound weird, not weird, but the social media outlets that we have, I mean, I think are something that we can really do because, I mean, while it's very helpful to have the leaders very much in the forefront of being able to project where we're going, you can't be everything. And so, I mean, I know that there's a whole bunch of people that like photography, you know, so getting a, say, hey, there's this photo contest or something, let's go out and shoot for it. And being able to use the Facebook page and somebody just putting it up there and people looking and, you know, being able to get groups together that aren't necessarily here, that are just common interests of everything that we do within this group and get to know each other better.
Absolutely. How many of you are on Facebook? I like how there's like this, me. Yeah, Brian, you know, I see all the time people sharing, you know, hey, I liked this, I liked that, you know, boy, this TV show was great. You know, social media, for better or worse, it's a great way to share with other people what you think about things, good and bad. Yeah, somebody back there? Oh, Chris again. Yeah, FYI, so thanks. Friday night, we're doing a Real Music at 166 concert that's hosted by Tony Brown. It's going to be Chris Watson. I don't know much about him. He's kind of a blues rock sort of guy. But honestly, every show that Tony's brought in has been pretty amazing. You know, even, you know, you were talking about, you know, oh, so-and-so would like this. Kylie and I were not big fans of country music when we first started here. But because we were working some of the events, we've kind of gained an appreciation for country music. I think that's a good thing, right? Yeah. but so, yeah, come out, check it out. Saturday night, there's a group directly across the field from us called Imaginary Inc., and they are theater. Boy, they're all sorts of stuff. They're technicians, they're actors, they're playwrights, they design sets. They're going to be in here, and they're doing what generally they do, a free event. So, you know, and there's going to be music in here. There's going to be music out there. They're going to have art all throughout the space. Come on out, check it out. You know, we try to put it up on the at least the Theater 166 page. So I see a look of confusion. Saturday night. This Saturday night. I think the event starts at 8 o'clock. So come out. Check it out.
I think for certain groups that are coming in here, asking them if we want to help, if they want people to come. Because, like, my group, if anyone ever wants to come on a Thursday night instead of the Well, you're welcome to. It's, you know, we're not scary. We're the professional ones. The scary ones are downtown. But so we've got all these groups that meet here that I know some groups are very private, some like mine where we want people to come, we welcome people, and just talking to those groups and seeing if they'd be willing to help, if they'd be willing to help us promote them, which goes along with the events and the concerts. I mean, you know, the the breast cancer charity that was last month. I don't know what they're, if they would have let it, but that's something that affects us as a family, so why not let the family know about it?
I love that. We are a family. Holly? Oh, my goodness, it's going everywhere.
To a little more insight, I guess, to what Kathy and I were thinking, really what I was thinking. I've found over years, if I do something because I'm supposed to, maybe grudgingly, maybe it's duty, it's something like this, I do it, but I don't get any enjoyment out of it. There's no passion, there's no fire. And I recognize that about myself, and I recognize that in this situation. So look at the reason why I want to do this. Why do I want to put more commitment here into people, into what's going on? It's because I believe that God wants us to do something. I believe that we need to do it. And I need to commit myself to it wholeheartedly, not just a little bit, but wholeheartedly. Hard things in your life, you don't get through them, you don't fix them, you don't attain them without a lot of commitment. Whether it's fixing a bad spot in your marriage, or fixing a bad spot in your relationship with somebody else, or fixing a bad spot at work, you're not going to do it if you half-ass it. You got to commit and do it, and smile and enjoy it, and do your best to enjoy it. So that's what I need to do. It's what I'm planning on trying to do in doing this. I'm not coming up here to say, oh, I'm going to be security for this place and sit out there and go, okay, yeah, whatever. I want to enjoy it. I want to be part. I don't want to be there. I want to be part of it. So attitude with the effort.
Awesome. Holly, you had something?
Coming. Okay.
Well, and I think we have to keep in mind why we do these things. Why do we have events, and why do we invite people to come here? And it's to serve our community as a social service, but also to invite people in the doors in hopes that maybe they'd come back sometime, and maybe they would hear something about God, hear something about a relationship, a life-giving relationship with Jesus. And so keeping that in mind, if that's a big part of our vision, is who we are as a gathering and as a church, I do think it's good on Sunday mornings to talk about that, and to talk about the events, and to ask for help, and ask people to come and to show up for concerts, because that's such a huge part of who we are. So I don't think we should try to keep Theater 166 and Cross Point separate. I think they're really intertwined, and it's fun to do those things. It's work, too. That time that we were here for a coming out party, what is that called, Sweet 16 party, and there were hundreds of teenagers here, and it stayed late into the evening. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. And we had a lot of opportunity to talk to some of the parents and talk to them about our church and what we believed. And it was very cool to have that opportunity to mix and mingle with people. And then the other reason I think our outreach is so good is it gives us something to talk about in our workplace or with other folks who may not be in fellowship anywhere or even have a relationship with God. It gives us something to invite them to, that gets them in the door and lets them see that this place isn't too threatening, and they might even come back on Sunday morning. So I like the idea of more crossover at Cross Point.
Cool. Oh.
Got in here while I can. I think Crosspoint has this amazing opportunity, you know, through the outreach, that it is really an outreach with Theater 166, and being able to open our doors to people just to come in who would never step inside a church, and we are able to speak into their lives that we would not have the opportunity to in other ways. I mean, we get to do that as cares teams. We are, in somewhat ways, paid to knock on people's doors and let them know that we are Christ followers and invite them to join in in the community and everything that's going on, and that's an amazing opportunity. And we also have that right here with the events that go on at Theater 166. And I do think that it is a God-sized vision, and I think it is even bigger than what's happening right now. I think we're looking at in somewhat a small way, and I think it is huge. I should also let you know, some people were asking about getting involved. Talk to me. I'm just going to hijack this thing right here now. If you want to get involved, come talk to me. I'll let you know of ways to help out in different areas.
I think talk is great, but I would like to propose a call to action that we all get what we need to do to get in line and sell out Friday night's concert.
Oh, she threw down the gauntlet. Love it. I love it. Oh, man. Wow, this has been awesome. Well, all right, we're running a little late.
One more thing.
No, we have one more, sorry.
Sorry. And I just want to really stop and say thank you to every single volunteer. I know nearly every person sitting here does something in some way, whether it be Sunday mornings or events, and I just want to put out a huge thank you because it could not happen without every single person. So thank you. If you want to help out, don't feel like we're going to throw you down and just go there. So
usually. okay, I want to close this out. I've got one last video to show you guys. Real quickly, you heard the congregational meeting last week. The finances are getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. The odds are stacking against us. Numbers seem to be dwindling at times. We've gone from an average of about 65 to an average of about 55 on Sunday mornings. Odds are stacking against us. I told you when we first came out here that there was a series you guys had just done that kind of encouraged us. It was based off this book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson. He says this: is there any greater high than doing what no one thinks you can do? Maybe that is why God sometimes invites us to defy impossible odds. Maybe it is one way he can show his omnipotence. Maybe God allows the odds to be stacked against us so he can reveal more of his glory. That's what it's all about, his glory, not ours. So the question is, do you want to be a part of a God-sized vision? Are you willing to move in faith, take great risks, make great sacrifices so that he can be glorified through this body of believers? Be thinking about that. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for this amazing group of believers. I thank you for all their thoughts. I thank you for their honesty. And I just pray that this week as we go out, we can look for ways to meet you and encounter your God-sized visions for our lives and look for ways that you are giving us to achieve those visions. Lord, we praise you, and we just ask that you help us to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.